Hello, this is my Holy Week Diary for March the 26th, 2024. Today is Tuesday in Holy Week. This is a reading from Mark chapter 14, verses 10 through 31. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased, and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed, and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though all become deserters, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same. Here ends the reading. For those of us who have grown up in the church, the timeline of Jesus' final few days is fairly fixed in our understanding. Even with the differences in the way each gospel tells the story, the trajectory is all the same. At this stage in our reading of Mark, we've traversed some familiar ground in the events of Holy Week: Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the cleansing of the temple and the arguments with the religious leadership, the growing sense that these arguments will lead to Jesus' arrest, Judas selling out Jesus to the religious establishment, Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, which Judas attended, and Jesus' prediction of Peter's denial, with Peter's denial that he would deny Jesus. As we hear passages like today, the temptation is to become impatient. "Yes, yes, 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 I know this already," we think to ourselves. In a culture which is addicted to novelty, it's understandable that we speed past things that are familiar to us. When we read the text flatly as a tale of events that happened way back then, it's easy to become indifferent to it all, to remain aloof and apart. But what we are challenged to do in Holy Week is to resist the temptation to keep these events trapped in antiquity. The life of faith encourages us to re-enter the story so that the story re-enters us. The story of Jesus' passion, of his suffering, execution, burial, death, and resurrection is the story. It's the story. Without this story, without the events of this week, there is no Christian faith. The reason churches like the Episcopal Church have specific liturgies devoted to recalling these holy events is not to try and somehow reenact them, but rather to make those scenes come alive within our souls. At their very best, these special liturgies pierce our ambivalence, open our hearts, and renew our faith. If we reflect on the various scenes in the story, and we can allow ourselves to be part of it, we may find ourselves face to face with the fact that throughout our own journeys of faith, we've been some of the characters we are reading about. Today, I've been thinking about two of these characters, Judas and Peter. Judas walked the way of the good news with Jesus. Judas saw the miracles. Judas heard the teaching. Judas picked up leftovers from the feeding of the multitude. Judas saw Jesus walk on water. Judas had been sent out by Jesus with the other disciples, and he had no doubt preached the good news, cast out demons, and healed the sick. And then, for reasons unknown, when the moment of truth came, he sold Jesus for the price of a slave. I can only imagine how fast his heart was beating at the Last Supper. Peter walked the way of the good news with Jesus. Peter saw the miracles. Peter heard the teaching. Peter picked up leftovers from the feeding of the multitude. Peter saw Jesus walk on water. Peter had been sent out by Jesus with the other disciples, and he had no doubt preached the good news, cast out demons, and healed the sick. Peter, through Spirit-inspired intuition, had proclaimed to Jesus and his fellow disciples, "You are the Messiah of God." And yet, when the moment of truth came, in spite of all his protestations, Peter denied even knowing who Jesus was, not once, but three times. Judas is the icon of betrayal. Peter is the icon of denial. As I've reflected on these two followers of Jesus, I've found myself remembering the times and ways I've either intentionally or unintentionally betrayed or denied Jesus. I have to admit that sort of self-examination is uncomfortable. I'm forced to face into my own hypocrisy, my own hard-heartedness, my own anxiety and fear. I betray Jesus every time I soft-sell the difficult truths that are a part of the gospel in order to keep the people who pay my salary placated. I deny Jesus every time I fail to speak up for the causes of truth, liberation, justice, mercy, reconciliation, and peace. Some days, God help me, I'm Judas. Other days, God help me, I'm Peter. The good news for me and for you too, dear listener, is that Jesus forgives our betrayals and our denials. Through the power of Christ's forgiveness, we are granted the opportunity every day to make another start on the path of discipleship. The one who suffered and died for the world is the one who continues to forgive us, continues to heal us, and continues to raise us to new life. No matter how many times we fall, no matter how many times we fail, no matter how many times we go astray. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.